Hare Krishna. Question from Gaurav Prabhu. How was Sati for spiritual cultivation when every soul is an individual and has a original relationship with Supreme Lord? Answer. Yes, Sati is centered on a relationship with one's husband, but it is a part of the Karmakanda section in the Vedic scriptures, which is connected with spiritual cultivation in a slow progressive sense. There is Karmakanda, there is Jnanakanda, and there is Bhakti. So in Karmakanda, one's worldly relationships are given a lot of dharmic importance. So there are duties to one's ancestors, and the duty is that one should continue the dynasty by begetting children. Now, and this is a responsibility, if you look in the Puranas, in the Itihasas, the kings take it as a very serious responsibility to beget heir and continue the dynasty. Now, from the point of view of bhakti, the dynasty which you belong to is not very important, but the soul has a relationship with Krishna. But that does not mean that whatever is there in the Karmakanda section. So Karmakanda is basically very slow progress, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And it may take bahunam janmanam ante, as Krishna says in 7.19 in the Bhagavad Gita, to actually ultimately come to the level of Vasudeva sarvamiti, jnanavan mam prapadyate. To understand that Vasudeva is everything and to become thus knowledgeable and surrender to Krishna. It may take many lifetimes while going through these rituals. But there is still a gradual spiritual cultivation in the sense that one is within the broad ambit of scriptures and one is following dharma which is given in Veda, by which one is acknowledging a higher authority and living a life of dharma. So yes, sati was not a spiritual practice in the sense that there is no direct involvement of God in it. There is no necessarily idea that it's a devotional practice at all. It's not. But it was a social practice which came from the section of scripture known as Karmakanda, which is a part of a gradual step-by-step progression towards the Supreme Lord, towards devotion. So, in that sense, it is part of spiritual cultivation. But otherwise, when we talk about our spiritual relationships, with Krishna, that is all important, but that does not mean that the worldly relationships are entirely unimportant. From the point of view of eternal relationships, yes, the worldly relationship is temporary and excessive attachment to it is a source of entanglement. And that entanglement should be avoided. But from the point of view of living in this world and from the point of view of living responsibly, the worldly relationships also have to be given due importance. And today we live in a culture where worldly relationships are trivialized. And that also has serious social consequences when a man and a woman do not take the marriage bond seriously, and then they sometimes for trivial reasons separate from each other. Then that affects the society, that affects next generations. So, and that's why even the married bond of marriage is considered to be a dharma bond, that is a religious bond. It's a dharma vivaha, dharma patni, as we say. So there are two extremes. One is to consider the horizontal relationship in this world as themselves spiritual and to elevate them to a very high level of importance. The other is to completely trivialize them. So they should be seen in a balanced way as something which is important for this worldly maintaining of order in this world. And if they are done within the practice within the framework of dharma, then they can gradually contribute towards one's spiritual cultivation in a multi-lifetime progression. But they are not a part of bhakti, and in that sense, they are not a part of direct devotional cultivation at all. Thank you. Hare Krishna.